Today's message, we're in a series called, can you say that? Power. That's what we're doing right now, talking about power. Last week we talked about the power of the cross. It's interesting. We saw that message last week, the power of the cross, preaching the cross and Jesus, and how many people last week in our service came to Jesus Christ. Many, many came to Christ. That's why it's so important that we always preach Jesus. It's so important. Got to keep preaching Jesus. Amen? The power of the cross. This week, we're looking at the power of the resurrection. That's our message today. So let's look at it. We're going to be moving, Raj. Here we go, buddy. You got to push me. Are you ready? You look sleepy. Come on. Set up. Come on. Here we go. He's going crazy. Here we go. We're going to look at the book of Corinthians chapter 15 today. So if you have your Bible and you make your way there, you're going to be there most of the time. All right? Otherwise, everything will be right up here. All the scriptures will be right before you. The book of Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth. Okay, that's the name Corinthians. Okay? So, this is the book. It was written to this church at Corinth. Corinth was a city in Greece. We're just moving. And the Greeks did not believe in the resurrection of the body. Okay? So here's the Apostle Paul. He himself became a Christian. He then becomes a missionary sharing the gospel in different parts of the world. He's sharing the gospel. He establishes a church of believers in a city of Corinth, which is in Greece. Got it? But you know, the Greeks didn't believe in the resurrection of the body. Forget Jesus. They didn't know about that. They just didn't believe in such a thing. Y'all got it? Say, so far? Greek philosophy considered the human body a prison. They looked at being in this body as prison. And when they died, it was some kind of escape from the prison they were in. So that's why the Greek culture, so much of it, man, did they ever live life to the, you know, they just did everything with that body. You know what I'm saying? And they just believe when you die, you're dead, like a dog, okay? They didn't believe in the resurrection. Y'all, so far, so good. What's the problem with that? Hang in here with me. I'm trying not to bore you off the bat. The problem with that is this. A church was started there. A church of believers in Jesus Christ. But you know how it is. Have you ever learned something that's hard to unlearn? Yes or no? You ever had habits that are sort of hard to break? So this church, they had established the church. There were believers in the church. But this church was full of problems. Okay? And let's keep moving, Raj. Okay? This was a Christian church. They had believed in Christ, as Paul told them. But they had many problems. How many knew before I told you that the church of Corinth was a church with a lot of problems? Can I see your hands? Matter of fact, if you want to, I've got a series I've done called Inside Job, dealing with church hurt and church problems, and I used this church in the scriptures to put that series together. It was a church with all kinds of problems. They had divisions, they had gossip, they had problems with greed and money, and they had problems with all kinds of stuff, all right? And so they were just a problem church. And one of their main problems, which probably led to a lot of their other problems, now hear me out, was their skeptical attitude concerning the resurrection of Jesus. Y'all, did y'all hear me say that? This was a Christian church. They had believed in Jesus. But there was this nagging problem they had of accepting the resurrection. Are y'all cool so far? That's what we're going to look at today. What was the Apostle Paul to do with them? He heard from them. They got all these problems. He writes about all these problems they got. He writes them a letter. That's why the book of Corinthians is in our Bible. Okay? But then we see he writes also in this letter, he hits them straight upside the head with this situation. He hits it head on, this problem of the resurrection. All right? You need to hear this message today. We need to hear this in God's Word. Amen? So let's see what we can learn. Why did Paul think it was important to hit this message of the resurrection and to teach them? And you're going to see what he said in just a second. Why? Number one, because there's no salvation for anyone, and there's certainly no power if one does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Y'all got that? Number two, it's vitally important that we get this truth nailed in our mind and in our spirit today. You need to know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You need to know that in your heart and in your spirit. You need to be able to go to sleep at night and to know that you serve a risen Savior. You need to know that, guess what? Because He rose, you too are going to live again. You're not going to be like a dog that's going to roll over into a hole. Amen? We learned last week that through the death of Christ and believing in His death and resurrection, we've been given immortality. What does that mean? It means a deathlessness to the whole person, the whole being. We're going to die physically, but because of our faith in Jesus, His death on the cross, His resurrection, there's something about Gary Clark right now that has a deathlessness about it. Amen? My spirit is going to live. Why? Because He lives. But if you don't believe in the resurrection, you got a problem with your whole theology. Y'all listening today? Okay, here we go. The power of the resurrection. Let's go now. 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58. We're going to start from backwards and go the other way. Here we go, since you're already confused. Let's really mess you up. God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, come on, be ye what? Steadfast, come on, unmovable, always what? Because of the resurrection, you and I can have victory. And let's break it down. Three, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get victory. Through Jesus. And let's look at these three words real quick. He says these three things. We're to be steadfast in our salvation. That's what I put. We're to be steadfast. We're to be loyal and determined. We're to know that we're saved. You shouldn't get up every day and think, well, I don't know if I'm saved today. You ought to believe the Bible. Are you listening? Say. You ought to determine that the Bible says Jesus came, He lived, He died, I believe it. Period. You hearing me? Well, guess what? You can't be that if you don't have the resurrection nailed. Okay? So, how can I have this victory and be steadfast in my salvation? How can I be unmovable? Most people turn away from Christ when hard times come. If they're going to turn, that's when they turn. I can't believe God let this happen to me. Like somehow you live on planet Earth, but bad stuff ain't supposed to happen to you. It does happen to us. You can't. This is a cursed planet. Horrible things happen. I hate it. So when they happen to you, are you going to be unmovable? That's not changing your position on Christ. Are you going to be solid? Don't you want to have that? Comes through the power of the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection, or I'm not saying you don't believe, if you're waffly, don't be surprised when hard times come if you're just tossed to and fro all the time. Are y'all listening today? All right, good. There's the two of you. Here we go. It was only one a minute ago. Here we go. Number three, be abounding in the work of the Lord. So abounding in service, that word means abundant and running over. So how can I be all this? Keep moving, Rod. Let's fly. How can I be all this? This is what we can have through the power of the resurrection. Philippians 3:10 says, say it with me, that I might know Him and the what? Power of His what? Resurrection. Okay? This is how we're going to get this steadfast, unmovable, abounding stuff. It's coming through the power of the resurrection. You must have the power that comes through solid faith in Jesus and His death and burial and resurrection. See, we're not playing church today. This is what got me through the murder of my mother 15 years ago. What got me through that was to know I'll see my mother again. See? But if I'm not sure I'll see mother again, maybe there is no resurrection, I'd be all messed up. But I determined, I pushed all the eggs right into the basket, baby. I'm in. If you want to go the rest of your life waffling, not knowing what you believe, and there's plenty of churches around here that you can find that'll say that. But this ain't one of them. We believe the Bible. We believe Jesus died. We believe He rose from the dead. For me, it's vitally important. It's more than, ooh, He preaches at fellowship. Are you kidding me? Man, I'd be messed up if I didn't believe that. I'm already half crazy. I'm serious. I couldn't make it. There's no way. I couldn't do two funerals of two people I love this week if I didn't know that there was a risen Savior. I couldn't do it, man. Are y'all hearing me? Yeah. Praise the Lord. There'd be no way. So that's what we're talking about today. This is important, okay? Come on. A skeptical attitude about the resurrection will not cut it. And Paul knew it. He had started that church at Corinth. Man, they had problems here, they had problems there, they had problems here. And it's just my opinion. Maybe a lot of their problems came by not being solid in the belief of the resurrection. Y'all right? Let's keep looking. Did Jesus raise from the dead? The Apostle Paul gives three proofs. And Roger, unfortunately, we got to fly. Clock's not our friend. Here we go. Proof number one. Paul's dealing with this church. We just get to be the beneficiaries of it now ourselves because we struggle too. That's why God gave us the Bible. This was a real letter that was written to real people. But you and I, now we get to also benefit from it. What did he tell these people? Proof number one, that there was a resurrection of the dead and that Jesus rose from the dead. Here it is, proof one. Your own salvation. Can you say that with me? Your own salvation. Let's make it personal. My own salvation. Look at what he says. Now we go back to the beginning. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and you're standing in what I told you, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Let's keep looking. Let's learn. These Corinthian believers had received the message of the Apostle Paul. They had received the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Now, a lot of us would have gone in there to these folks and say, you people aren't saved. You're talking about the resurrection. You don't believe the resurrection. You're going to hell. That ain't how Paul dealt with them. Paul wanted to let them know, you are saved. If you believe what I told you, you're saved, whether you might have some skeptical doubts or not. How many of you trusted the Lord? Maybe you're looking back now over your life. You trusted Christ, but even after you trusted Christ, you still had some skepticism. Can I see any hands? Some doubts that come up from time to time? That's normal, and Paul's dealing with them. He says, look, your own salvation that you believed is a proof that you are, you know, that you're saved, that the resurrection really happened. What is the message of the gospel? What is that they believe? Look at it, the next two verses. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Say that with me. How that Christ died for our what? Sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was what? Buried. And that He did what? Rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So what is the gospel? The gospel, or the good news of Jesus, is that Jesus died, He was buried, He rose again the third day. That's what you need to believe to be saved, to be a Christian. Did y'all hear that? I thought I had to do this or do that. That's the gospel. That's what Paul preached to them. They were waffling, they were wavering, they were in trouble. He said, hold the phone. You believed what I preached to you, right? Okay, and your life has been transformed. I understand your past and what you've been struggling with, but listen, that should be a proof that just by what I preached to you and you believe, your life has started to change. Does that make sense? They were standing in the good news of Jesus, and this was proof in itself of the resurrection of Christ. Here this church was, it's a little bit high stuff here to talk about. I hope you're getting it. They were standing, even though they might have had some skepticism, they were actually standing in the message that He gave them. And guess what? It was holding sure. You ever been knowing that you're saved, but sometimes you feel like you're slipping? See, but you're really not. You might be a little messed up, but the ground you're standing on is solid. That's the gospel. Stand on it. You listening? Say. Well, so-and-so says this, or I saw the Discovery Channel, and they said this. Stand on the gospel! Okay? Things might get a little wobbly at times, but that should be a proof to you. That's what Paul says. Your own salvation, guys. Now, he just starts out. He didn't even really have to tell them that. He's trying to help them. That's not our best argument for the resurrection. But he's telling this just because it's important. I don't know if I lost you. Proof number two. They've got to know that there's power in the resurrection. They've got to know that one day they too will live forever with Christ. Paul's trying to convince them. Look at verse 3 and 4 again. Proof number two, say that with me, was the what? Old Testament Scriptures. So number one was your own salvation. See, I can say that. I knew before I accepted Christ what I was like, how I felt, where I was. I also got to see my mama's life change. So even though we didn't know all about the resurrection and all the arguments for it or against it or anything like that, we did have a changed life. You see what I'm saying? So your own salvation is a proof that Jesus rose and that message is true. Y'all listening to that, say, how many when you believe Christ, not everybody can maybe answer this, how many you know within just a short period of time your life was changed? Can I see your hands? Look at that testimony all over the room today. See? Second proof was according to the Scriptures. When Paul was writing this to the Corinthians, was the New Testament written? No. So according to the Scriptures meant the Old Testament, okay? We can believe in the resurrection. We can believe in the sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection because it was predicted in the Old Testament over and over and over and over and over again. So much of the Old Testament pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as our substitute and our Savior. Keep moving. Where did it say this? We got to fly here. Jesus Himself pointed it out. He pointed out Old Testament. How many knew that the story of Jonah was really about Jesus dying and being buried 3 days and raising from the dead? Some of us knew that. A lot of us didn't. We thought it was just about a fish and a man. Well, it really did happen. Jesus said it happened. But did you know Jesus said that all happened really as a picture of me? Look, He said that unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There ain't going to be no sign given. The sign of the prophet, except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. This was a sign. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, say it with me, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the what? Heart of the earth. I'm not saying this is easy to get. Okay? But fortunately, you're probably not as screwed up as the Greeks were. Okay? So there's hope for you. All right? The point is that Old Testament Scriptures give us proof that this death of Christ on the cross and His resurrection didn't surprise God. This was all His plan all along. Whether you like it or not, or whether you agree with it or not, God had a plan, and His plan was to save you and me. Because Adam sinned, and God's plan was to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross and to raise from the dead so we could be saved. You might say, He's God. Why did He do it that way? Well, I'll be there waiting for you to ask Him that question. All right? If I was you, I'd just receive it. Amen? And be thankful for it. I had a guy this week. He talked to me for over an hour. Arguing with me. He couldn't get his head wrapped around how that all these other religions aren't going to go to heaven. I wasn't even talking to him about that. I was actually trying to do a business deal. Okay? That's not my problem. Y'all hear me? My problem isn't all these false religions worshiping things that ought not be worshipped according to the Word of God, and somehow I got to fix it so you'll believe in Jesus. That's not my problem. Okay? Jesus gave His life for you. He rose from the dead. The whole Old Testament prophesies this, much of the Old Testament. It's a proof. Do you believe it or not? That's what I told him. Do you believe it or not? Now, can we get on with the business? Do you see what I mean? The Apostle Paul compared Jesus' resurrection himself to the first fruits. He said, every man is on order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ is coming. Christ will resurrect first, then others will resurrect later at His coming. Why am I saying this? First fruits were presented to God on the day following the Sabbath after the Passover in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to read all of Leviticus 23, 9 through 12. You can read it. Here's the point. First fruit offerings were given to the Lord the day after Passover, day after the Sabbath, after Passover. And guess when Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Passover week, remember? He rose the day after Passover. My point is this. The Old Testament's full of stuff like this. God had this planned. Are you just going to soundly reject it just because you don't believe? God has been working and through history to show that Christ was coming. David predicted Christ's resurrection in Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine what? Say it with me. Holy One to see corruption. A prophecy that Jesus would resurrect. Isaiah predicted Christ's resurrection. Prophets hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ. Isaiah 53:9. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their what? Their sins, their iniquities. Might be a little heavy on Easter Sunday. Okay? Proofs of the resurrection to a church that was screwed up. That's this message. Number one, you ought to believe in the resurrection because of your changed life. Your life ain't been changed. Maybe you don't believe. Amen? Keep living, doing the same thing you've always done. I wouldn't have much comfort in that. Okay? Proof number two, Old Testament scriptures. A lot of other examples in the Old Testament. Fly with them. Coats of skin, Genesis. The ark, Noah's ark, about Jesus. Believe it or not. The lamb for Abraham and Isaac that was caught in the thicket, about Jesus. The Passover lamb, blood on a doorpost, talking about Jesus. The passage through the Red Sea, talking about Jesus. The Levitical offerings, talking about who? Jesus. The Day of Atonement, talking about Jesus. The red heifer of all things, Numbers 19, talking about Jesus. The brazen serpent, Moses lifting up that brazen serpent. Jesus said this himself. He said, if I be lifted what? Up, I'll do what? Draw men unto me. Was Jesus lifted up? Somebody tell me. And he's been drawing men and women, boys and girls ever since. Amen? What I'm saying, and Paul was saying, your own salvation ought to convince you of the resurrection. The gospel that you've been standing on, it works. It can save your soul. It can help you even in your parenting. It can help you in your marriage. It's crazy. The Word of God. Amen? The gospel. Got it? And then the Old Testament scriptures. Now, one other thing is this. They had the Old Testament scriptures. We got what? We got the New Testament scriptures. So we're just overloaded with stuff that would help us believe in the resurrection. The last thing, and this should be enough. We shouldn't even have had to have one and two. Paul gave them the number three thing. Proof number three. Witnesses who actually saw the resurrection. And that's good. That should seal the deal, shouldn't it say? Here, meet Fred, Bob, Bill, Jane, Sue, Willie. They all saw him. You see what I'm saying? That ought to have done it right there. Look at what he says. Guys, you're struggling. Okay? Don't struggle on this, he says. Be solid. And then he tells them this. He was seen of Cephas, or Peter, and the 12. He was also seen above 500 people at one time, of whom the greater part still is alive. Some have died, but not all of them, he says. After that, he was seen of James, then all the apostles. And Paul says this, and last of all, he was seen of who? Me, as one born out of due time. All right? So proof number three, what's the point? Proof number three is that should be enough for us, the witnesses. Amen? One or two people tell you something happened, you start to believe it, don't you? Somebody tell me. Well, 500 people came up to you and said, this happened, this happened, this happened, and they're not changing their story. You probably go,
I believe we ought to believe it.
Amen? Be solid in your faith. What's the point of what I talked about today in Paul? We're powerless and we're lost if there's no resurrection. Got it? If there's no resurrection, then basically I'm an idiot for giving my life doing what I do. I just don't believe I'm an idiot for doing what I do. Okay? I believe in the gospel. You can pull out my fingernails, I'm still going to believe in the gospel. Okay? Because of a changed life, because of the scriptures, and because of eyewitnesses' account in the Bible. And I believe the Bible. So I put it to bed. Have you? Yes or no? You ought to. Listen. Listen what Paul says. If you're still going to doubt the resurrection, not believe in the resurrection, verse 12. If Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some of you there's no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? You can't have your cake and eat it too, man. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain and your faith's in vain. This is strong stuff. Yea, and we are found liars of God. If He didn't rise from the dead, I'm a liar, he says. Because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be the dead don't rise. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is what? In vain, and you're still in your what? Sins. Then they also which are dead in Christ, they're perished. Verse 19. Huge verse. Great verse. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most what? Your life ain't but about this long. It's about this long. It's a vapor and then it vanishes away. This is a short time compared to all eternity. If your hope's only right now, and there's no future life, or there's no Christ, no resurrection, we're in bad shape. Got it? But Christ is raised. Amen? And that's what we believe. Jesus resurrected, and so shall we. And we're flying with the end of the message. Here we go, Rod. You're moving. We're going to read Scripture. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Paul saying he's slapping them people. Pow, pow, pow. And become the first fruits of them that have died. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead in a person named Jesus. Amen? For in Adam all what? Die. In Christ shall all be made what? Alive. He goes on. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And what I've been talking about today might be strange. Listen, but we're not all going to die. But we're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on, that's a beautiful word, immortality. A deathlessness about you. So when this corruptible puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, say it with me, death is swallowed up in victory. It's sad, but hold on. We're alive. Amen, because He's alive. Oh, death. Where is your sting now? And oh grave, where is your victory now? Jesus whooped your butt, excuse me. Amen? He kicked your tail. Death and hell got your tail kicked. Amen? Do y'all believe that? Paul said, church, get a grip. What you believed when I taught you worked. It was all predicted in the Old Testament. Didn't take God by surprise. And by the way, we got all these crazy witnesses I've been telling you about. Don't let anybody move you from the faith of the resurrection Jesus. That's what he's saying. There's power in what I'm telling you about today. Back to where we started. Thanks be to God, which gives us the what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I understand better. Look, now I know I can be steadfast. I can be unmovable. I can abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as I know now, my labor is not in vain in the Lord, because Jesus lives, and because He lives, I'm going to live too. You see how that makes a little more sense? It made sense to me in my office. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those three words again. Here they are. Can you say that with me? Steadfast. And then say that line. I am loyal and determined. Not because I'm anything, but because He rose from the dead. Unmovable. Say it with me. I am positioned in Christ. There's a whole book, the book of Ephesians, talks about how God, when you got saved, He put you in Christ. See, that message you believe, it works, and you're over here, you're fine. God took care of you. Believe it. Number three, abounding. Can you say that? I am overflowing because of the resurrection. And we're done with these questions. This is really important. Hang in here. Have you made the decision to believe in the good news of Jesus? Have you made that decision to believe in the good news of Jesus? Is it all hokey pokey and who knows what? Are you going to be skeptical to the day you die? Or are you going to say, finally, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to believe in the resurrection and death of Christ. I'm going to believe. I'm going to be determined and loyal to that belief. Number two, are you confident? Are you confident that you've been positioned in Christ? Are you confident because of your faith in Jesus that He has put you in the in Christ column? Yes or no? If you're a believer, you should be able to say, yep, I'm there. Number three, are you overflowing with hope, because of your faith in Christ? When you lose a dear loved one, a friend, does something called hope swell up inside of you? Even though you're sad, hope swells up inside of you and says, I know I'll see him again. You ought to be able to do that if you believe in the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. Who wouldn't want to be full of hope, man? Listen to Jesus. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked this question. Do you believe this? Do you believe what we've been preaching this morning? That's the gospel. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The resurrection is more than a group of people holding hands, singing around a sunrise coming up in the morning. This is crazy, powerful stuff. Are you hearing me? Wow. Get it nailed. Get it down. Amen? Just look, man. 2,000 years. Crazy people like me still preaching it. Amen. That sounds pretty solid to me. And I'm just a little old guy. Around this whole big planet, billions believe in Jesus. Okay? It's pretty powerful. Stand on solid ground. Amen. Takes faith. But I encourage you to believe today. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for listening. We did not want to have... And we're going to pray together here, so hang in here with me. We did not want to have just music, and I love all the music, but we did not want to just have services today without the preaching of God's Word. We need to hear today. And I know this was a good Word today, not because I preached it, but because it's straight out of the Bible. It'll help you today. Y'all listen, say. It's good stuff. I'm not ashamed of this at all. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That's what the Bible says. Amen?